The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. This program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Well, today, as we weather this COVID-19 pandemic, we are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? Well, only one needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look to the Eastern Rite of our Catholic faith to learn about St. Joseph Byzantine Catholic Parish in Brecksville. Historically, St. Joseph Byzantine Parish dates to a gathering of interested faithful in 1912, resulting in the first liturgy being celebrated on January 7th of 1913. The founding congregation was made up of immigrants who had migrated to Cleveland from the Carpathian Mountains of eastern Slovakia in Europe. And the ethnic heritage, as we will learn, had much to do with the establishment of this Eastern Rite parish, at that time located on the city of Cleveland's southeast side. Well, this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship is the pastor of St. Joseph's Byzantine Church in Brecksville, Father Bruce Reby, along with his guest parishioner, Shalimar Masters. And first, Father Bruce, it's probably a good idea to acquaint our audience with the Eastern Rite of the Catholic Church. Could you give us a simple history lesson on the difference between the Eastern Rite and what many of our listeners are familiar with, the Roman Rite?
Yes, thank you, Bob, and thank you for having us on your show. Recall that Jesus just gave us the directive, do this in remembrance of me. That's what he said, the Last Supper. Do this, continue to break bread, to have the Eucharist. And then his disciples, his apostles, were to go forth and spread the good news of salvation. And so by doing that, five centers or cities, major cities, were established. Rome, Alexandria, Antioch, Constantinople, and Jerusalem. Those were the five major cities or centers where Christianity spread, and whoever was a Christian at that time was a Catholic. Now, four of those cities were east of the Mediterranean Sea, and Rome being west, thus the terminology, the Western Church and the Eastern Church. And so communication then wasn't as it is now, obviously, and so those who were living in closer proximity to one another in the Eastern churches in those cities that I mentioned did things more similar regarding liturgy, external rituals, and then the whole church would gather together in ecumenical councils to make sure that doctrinally and theologically everybody was on the same page. And so the Eastern churches did things, even in the four cities that I mentioned that were east of the Mediterranean, did things a little bit different than one another, but they were more similar in the east than in the west. And so it was St. Pope John Paul II, who wrote beautifully that the church must breathe with both of her lungs, the eastern lung and the western lung. And so there's a beautiful respect for the traditions of the Eastern Church, even though the Eastern churches are a great minority, especially in this country
Mm-hmm. I think it should be made clear, and you just mentioned it, a fact, that despite the fact that your parish is under a different bishop in an eparchy, your church and leadership still remain under the jurisdiction ultimately of the Pope in Rome, correct?
That's accurate, Bob. And we have in this country four eparchies, the Parma eparchy, of which St. Joseph is part of, which covers 14 states, by the way. And then there's an arch-eparchy in Pittsburgh, and then we report directly then to Rome.
Mm-hmm, very good. A major aspect of the Eastern Rite churches, I believe, is the fact that they were founded on the basis of what you just described, that people wish to worship God according to some of their own customs, ritual, and traditions. Would that be accurate to state that?
Yes and no, because if you look at that technically, it means that there was a time where some people just wanted to do something different. Well, all these traditions, East and West, emerged simultaneously. And so even though the Western Church is larger in numbers than the Eastern Church, we all emerged at the same time. The traditions, the rituals, that's why so much is respected in the Eastern churches. What can be said, and what is accurate in your comment, Bob, is that some of the ethnic churches have certain customs aside from the liturgical ritual that are just particular to their own churches. So, for example, the Slavic churches have things that maybe are done in a customary fashion versus a ritual fashion. Does that answer your question?
It surely does. It surely does. Tell us now a bit about the parish and the school, which were vibrant on the southeast side of Cleveland in that location from the early 1913 era into the 1970s. There's quite a history there for St. Joseph Byzantine.
As you mentioned, the church started in 1912, 1913. The school was opened in 1952, and that was definitely a big thing to have a school associated with the church. But because over the years there was a change in demographics there in the southeast side of Cleveland, and many parishioners moved to the suburbs, unfortunately the enrollment of the school declined. And in 1971, so that's a relatively short time, the doors were closed and the school was closed. Then the church itself was also losing parishioners, and in 1997 permission was granted to purchase 35 acres of land in Brecksville from the Diocese of Cleveland. This purchase included the present rectory, which was formerly used as a convent by the Sisters of Mercy. The final liturgy in Cleveland was held on Easter Sunday in 1980. In the meantime, the church was built in Brecksville, St. Joseph, and since about 1985, the parishioners have worshipped in Brecksville.
That's very good. Now, when we return, St. Joseph Byzantine Parish in Brecksville, a place with vibrancy and a sense of family, on Where We Worship, on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Malesic's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. Now be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. And now, as our interview continues, my guests are the pastor of St. Joseph Byzantine Parish in Brecksville, Father Bruce Reby, along with parishioner Shalimar Masters. And as our American culture becomes more homogenized, moving away from our ethnic languages and traditions, has it been difficult to have new generations continue to practice their faith in accordance with rituals and traditions? Father, as we were just talking about, you know, it was based around some ethnicity. Is that becoming more of a challenge or no?
Well, we've intentionally, and when I say we, I'm talking about the entire Eparchy of Parma, have intentionally made sure that, for example, the Divine Liturgy is sung in English, so that somebody walking in off the street who's just curious would be able to understand what's happening. And so one of the customs or traditions in all the Byzantine rites have been to have the liturgy in their own language. So in Slovakia, the liturgy was chanted or sung in Old Slavonic. And when the immigrants came over to this country, the liturgy was in Old Slavonic. And I've been ordained 36 years, and even at the beginning of my priesthood, we had liturgies in Old Slavonic. But we've moved away from that intentionally, again, so that people will feel welcomed, whoever they might be. And then we've had some venerable customs associated with Easter, associated with Christmas, and other times of the year that we still maintain so that we still have our sense of who we are as a church.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Even the terminology, Father, I find interesting in that you reference it as the divine liturgy. I guess in the Roman Rite, we would say it's the Mass. Would that be correct?
Yes,
I mean,
correct.
And there you are. Well, let me turn to Shalimar now. You know, in Shalimar, I've heard many times about the spirituality of the Eastern Church, offering a significant difference when compared even to the Roman Rite. Could you talk about that and whether it was a factor in your own, I'll call it migration, from the Roman Rite to the Byzantine? And welcome.
And Bob, for having me, and Father Bruce. It's kind of funny, but I actually, I'm from a very devout Roman Rite family, really solid, and even got to meet Mother Angelica, and my daughter got to meet her as a baby, and so a long history of the Roman Rite Church. So I actually wasn't even aware there was an Eastern Rite. So one day we were kind of in Colorado. We were kind of looking around for a different parish at the time, and I was kind of attracted to tradition, I guess, but wasn't sure what to do. And my sister was a teacher in Denver, Colorado. We lived in Colorado Springs. And one day we wandered into this little teeny church called Holy Protection of the Mother of God. I was thinking, my goodness, it was so different. I thought, is this even Catholic? And by the third Sunday that I went, I asked the priest there, Father Michael O'Loughlin, who's now in California, but I asked him, I said, okay, I got to ask, is this Catholic? He said, well, yes, and I tried to look up on Google, and it's kind of hard to find information about it. But by that third liturgy, I suddenly felt something come over me that I'm home. I can't explain it. It wasn't like this was better than the Mass, or I don't compare them. And I was at World Youth Day with St. John Paul II, and I remember him talking about the two lungs and calling the youth and all of that way back when I was young. And then I ended up reading Light of the East, the encyclical. I realized, oh my goodness, my whole life, I wasn't even aware, from Colorado, I was not even aware that there was another rite. But when I found this, I knew this was where I was being called to be. And that's kind of the main way I could describe it. It was transcendent. There's a very strong focus on the heart. And my heart was just drawn, and I can't quite explain. And from there, in 2015, we were led to move out to Ohio, of all places, because I said, I need more of this, because there's not as many of the Byzantine churches out west. So we just looked on Google. I didn't know where Ohio was. Kind of funny and embarrassing, but anyway, we found it, and we moved out here to be by a monastery, which is a convent, basically, called Christ the Bridegroom.
Out near Burton?
Yes, we live out near Burton, and that's exactly where we aimed for on Siri, and we set the GPS and moved out, and that's kind of why I'm here. And your question about why, I don't really know why, except it felt like it was in my blood.
Yeah, that's interesting. But you did mention, you know, it touched your heart. And I wondered, is it in the divine, the worship, the divine liturgy itself, do you think, that you've became closer to God? Or was it in on the expression of the readings or that type of thing?
Yes, absolutely, Bob. In fact, something about the sung liturgy, I'd never quite heard that before. I love both the Mass and the Divine Liturgy. There was something that just got me, and I can tell you there's a couple of things. One of them is the prayer that we say before we receive communion, which I couldn't recite that right now, but it's just this beautiful joining that everybody joins in together before we receive. That's absolutely beautiful. The chanting all throughout, the chanting, the lecturing, is all sung, and there's something about that just sort of elevated my soul. I've always loved music in Mass and Divine Liturgy, The incense, the smells and the bells, and there's something about that, but there's a joy there in the Byzantine church that also really attracted me. It wasn't like, we're going to do all this tradition and we're going to be angry while we do it or anything like that, or you better get this perfect or forget it. You know, we kind of make a joke that anyone sings in the Byzantine church, you don't necessarily have to be on tune, but everybody joins in, and it's beautiful to hear the sung worship all throughout the liturgy.
Well, that's really, really good to know. St. Joseph Byzantine Catholic Parish in Brecksville. Coming up, it's current ministries, activities, and liturgies on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and our focus for this broadcast is St. Joseph Byzantine Catholic Parish in Brecksville. And I'm your host, Bob Tayak. My guest, Pastor Father Bruce Reby, along with parishioner Shalimar Masters. And Father Bruce, let's talk about your current activities and ministries. You've had to cope with this pandemic, but give us some insight on how you've been able to do that, and what are some ministries you'd like to note as far as practices at the parish?
Thanks, Bob. You know, last year, the year of St. Joseph, he being the patron saint of our parish, and we've kind of neglected him, was almost like a godsend, because even in the midst of the pandemic, we were able to offer numerous opportunities for parishioners to be involved, mostly spiritual, in a way that went beyond what we normally have in motion at the parish in terms of activities and programs. So it was a wonderful year. We even invited local Roman Catholic churches to join us for various parish services. I know we're past that in terms of the year of St. Joseph, but that helped us carry through beyond the year of the pandemic. We've had a couple of ministries that are especially, I guess, noteworthy. We have a St. Joseph outreach group that for over 20 years now has provided the meal on Sunday mornings at the men's homeless shelter on Lakeside in downtown Cleveland. And even in the midst of the pandemic, we no longer went down there, but we had a group of people that on Tuesdays prepared a meal here and then just took it down there. And their cooks and their service people serve the meal to the homeless. So that's a special group that also runs a clothing distribution, in Parma. And so I like, when I think of ministries, I like to think of outreach, and that's what stands out for me.
You know, for so many parishes today, it's a struggle reaching younger people in this culture, which tends to dismiss organized religion. What's St. Joseph doing to reach the younger generation? And maybe I'll ask Shalimar that, because I understand you're involved there.
Yes, it's kind of funny, Bob. I have 11 children, so we have a built-in youth group in my family. Truthfully, I've always had a passion for teens, even when I was an older teen. And I think a lot of that does come from St. John Paul II. He really was my childhood pope and had a lot of influence on me, how he reached out to the youth, and that's carried on into my adulthood. They say if your church isn't crying, then your parish isn't crying, then their parish is dying kind of thing. That goes for babies, you know, mainly what they're talking about, but this has been a problem even since I was a teenager. It's always been difficult, as you said, to reach teens because the world, you know, is coming at them with everything else. And it's very hard to kind of jump in there and grab them. We have an outreach that I believe it's on Sundays, and a couple of other priests that come to St. Joseph's and meet with some of the teens. We have something called Byzantine, spelled T-E-N. Right now, though, we're kind of in a development phase, I would say, so that we can kind of coordinate with the other parishes. Of course, the Eastern churches were a lot smaller in number than the Roman Catholic parishes. So for us, it's almost like
smaller and scattered around, too.
Smaller and scattered. We're right, from, right. You know, a lot of from all different, you know, outlying areas, not necessarily closer to Brecksville, but people still drive out here. We're one of them. So it's one of those things that's being talked about. It's been in conversation within the parish and within the some of the meetings that we've had. So there definitely is the parish itself, we're all aware that we want to involve youth more and more in different aspects of ministry and different things, and just kind of get them involved. So it's in the works right now, is how I would put it.
Sure. Father, I think we should make it clear once again, too, that should a Catholic like to experience the Byzantine Rite, the service at St. Joseph's, one can do so without hesitation, receive the sacraments, fulfill their Mass obligations, correct?
Absolutely, and I'd like to say, if you don't mind, Bob, that if one of your listeners has not attended a Byzantine Catholic liturgy, that they really should expose themselves to it. At St. Joseph, we have a Saturday vigil liturgy at 4 o'clock, and on Sunday it's at 10:30. And of course, yes, it fulfills one's obligation.
You know, we didn't get to touch at all on different traditions that are within the Byzantine Rite versus the Roman Rite, but I know one of those is coming up. And in the Roman Rite, we call it the season of Lent in preparation for Easter. It's got a little different terminology in the Byzantine Rite, and I'll let you expand on what it's called and what the practices are, because they're a little different.
Yes, we actually call it the Great Fast. Many parishioners call it Lent or Great Lent, but technically the Great Fast is what it's called because there are other fasting seasons in the Eastern churches. There is the fast before Christmas, which actually begins the day after the Feast of St. Philip, Roman and Byzantine, on November 14th. It's called the Philip's Fast. There's a fast before the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, June 29th, a fasting period, which Saints Peter and Paul still a holy day of obligation for Byzantine Catholics. And there's a fast before the Feast of the Assumption or Dormition of Mary in August. So there's four fasting periods, and in the East we call this the Great Fast because it's the one that brings us to Christ, saving death, passion, and resurrection. And our Lent, or fast, starts on the Monday before the Western Church's Ash Wednesday. And it all comes down to a counting period. The 40 days, including Sundays, ends the Friday before Palm Sunday, if you follow me here. So if you count backwards from Palm Sunday, you'll arrive at the Monday before Ash Wednesday in the Western Church. Palm Sunday and the day before, the raising of Lazarus on a Saturday, are separate feast days. And then Holy Week is a separate custom altogether, where our Lenten efforts intensify. And so Holy Week is a separate entity in and of itself. And also, during Lent, the Divine Liturgy is not supposed to be celebrated Monday through Friday because it's a celebration of the resurrection. So we have a special service called the Service of the Pre-Sanctified Gifts, which in the Roman Rite, I think, happens on Good Friday, where the consecrated hosts are distributed on Good Friday in Western Church. We do this on Wednesdays and Fridays during Lent, or the Great Fast, so that the faithful are not deprived of Holy Communion. So those are just a couple of things that, I guess, make our Lent different in the Eastern Rite versus the Western Rite.
No, that's fabulous insight. I appreciate you offering that to us. Father, finally, how can someone learn more about St. Joseph's Byzantine Catholic Parish? A website, or what would you suggest?
Yes, the person next to me, Shalimar, has been instrumental on our website. So stjoebyz.com is our website, and we do live stream the liturgies every weekend. We also you can friend us on Facebook.
Well, very good. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship, and this is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring St. Joseph Byzantine Catholic Parish in Brecksville. Where We Worship is a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, Chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.